Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control news you can use. And now, here's your hosts, Ken and Eric.
All right, here we go, big dog. Welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending March 8th, 2015. This is your host, Eric Stromquist. You are either watching or listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Building video cast or podcast. I am joined, as usual, by the man they call the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But Kenny, you are not in Pittsburgh right now, buddy. Where are you?
No, Eric, I'm up in Hartford, Connecticut. Beautiful country. Hartford is considered to be the insurance capital of the world. My daughter works at Travelers. She's an actuary, and just to visit, but a lot of driving. It's a long day yesterday on the road, and got here and set things up, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, buddy. You look a little bush, but it's always great to see the family, isn't it? You see your daughter. I know you're proud of both of them. So she's working in the insurance industry, huh?
Indeed, she is. They've got so much snow up here, it's incredible. We thought we had it bad in Pittsburgh. Well, Hartford's worse, and Boston's even worse. I mean, it's been an extraordinary winter season, and everybody's real anxious to get it over with. So, how about you down in Georgia? How's things? You guys are 75 degrees and sunny, right?
Well, we were one day this week, and then the next day it went down to the 30s. But that's Georgia weather. Again, we can have snow one day and be wearing shorts the next. And it's sunny outside today, Kenny. It's a little bit on the cold side, probably in the, mid-40s right now. Hadn't really checked the forecast, see what's going on. But, Big Dog, I know you got a lot going on up there. So what do you say we just cut right to it? Another big week in building automation controls. Let's break down our post and use that for some talking points. What do you say?
Certainly, Eric. Well, first up, we have Mr. Tim Chambly. He did an introductory to the VFDs, and Mr. Chambly does a great job. Always does. He has a passion for training, and he really gets the points across because this takes you to what the basics, what VFDs are all about. He talks about DC voltage, and he talks about the sign. And he talks about the applications, but why don't you tell us a little bit about Tim? How long he's been with Stromquist and what his fortes are?
Well, Tim's been with us for probably about 5 years now, Kenny. But I've chased Tim around for 25 years to get him to come to work for us. He's been a Stromquist customer for a lot of years, and I would come in and see Tim on the counter from the very first time I met him. I knew I wanted to work with him. Offered him a job. He said, "Nah, I'm good." And then, years would go by, and I'd see him. He'd be with a different company. And then finally, about 5 years ago, Tim came on board with us, and what a great addition. Tim has been the local trainer down at the at the school here, the trade school. So most of the technicians around Georgia know him because they've been trained by him. He's a master on chillers and equipment. Was really one of the first DDC guys, one of the first integrators in Atlanta hired Tim, and Tim was actually doing installations, running wires. That was where he got his start. And I won't go through his whole career, Kenny, but he wound up going to Train and was over at Train for a long time. But Tim can design systems. He's a licensed contractor. Not that he does that anymore, but just a brilliant guy. And I laughingly say, because Tim is kind of like Tim loves to train. That's his forte. You get him in front of a room full of people, and I'm fond of saying he goes from being Gomer Pyle to Gordon Gekko. He's just like a different person when you get him in front of a room. Now, Tim, he doesn't like the camera, so I sort of have to sneak those in. He really doesn't like to be filmed, but these are some older videos that we did about 2 years ago. And we actually posted part two later in the week, but it's Tim breaking the variable frequencies down really for beginners, but it's a good review for other people, Kenny. Tim has a great way of explaining things, as you can see in these videos, and Tim is a VFD guy extraordinaire, so enjoy. Really good training stuff, and part of what Control Trends is all about, Kenny, making sure we have great educational training videos that are accessible, easy to understand, and easy to use.
Well, Eric, I can tell you this, that knowing the most watched videos, Tim Chambly enjoys probably the most watched videos for his presentations of all the library in the Control Trends video library. So he must do something very right because he's very successful.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy, absolutely. And, you know, then, you know, so good stuff there. And we will continue to create and post videos. The team at Stromquist has really gotten on board with this, the training video thing. We've got several people that are videoing them, from Marseon Johnson to Mike Bonner and Rob Allen now. So we're going to keep producing video content, but also we curate videos. So, for example, last week you had found some great videos, training videos that Siemens had put together, and we posted those. So if you have a good training video or controls video that would be useful to our community, let us know. We'll post it on Control Trends. But we also call through, you know, hundreds of videos every week that are on YouTube, because more and more people are starting to create great content. And why should you have to go look everywhere, you know, do a bunch of searches when you can go to Control Trends? Because Kenny and I are going to find the best of the best to make sure they get posted.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers. All right, Big Dog, what we have up next?
Well, next up we have In the Winner's Circle with Viconics. Mr. Patrick Thomas receives the awards. Actually, Viconics and Schneider, with their smart structure light, won an award with Can2Go. So, I mean, you saw a very, very successful evening for the Schneider Electric family of products. Again, the SE8000 one, which was a Schneider Electric. It gets a little confusing because Schneider Electric essentially owns, you know, I think 12 to 14 control companies in our industry. But one of the most popular ones was Viconics and then Can2Go. And the combination of those two product lines have produced award-winning products year in and year out, and some of the most successful solutions for, you know, like commercial building solutions, but they also have thermostats that are networkable, so you can put the thermostat in, take care of business, control your equipment, and when the project you know, permits, you can network all those equipment controllers or room controllers or thermostats together in your Niagara network. And so they get an amazing product line. And Patrick Dumas, I can tell you this, he is one of the strongest support persons I've ever worked with. I talked to him last week. And it's always reassuring to know that you can go to somebody that really understands your applications. We had an issue involving 0 to 10 volts DC actuators or 2 to 10, and he made it very clear that what Viconics did, because a great deal of actuators out there are 2 to 10, the thermostat, the Viconic or the Schneider Electric thermostat, ramps up to 2.5 volts DC immediately, almost like a VFD, so they can handle that 2 to 10 you know, control over the VAV box. So it's a nice guy, a nice company, and we're very happy for them.
Well, absolutely, Kenny. And that's our Sayon Johnson interviewing him in the Winner's Circle. We got several of those videos up there. A lot of the people didn't go. The process was that, you know, you come up, we video you getting your award. We hope we videoed you on the red carpet. And then if you were lucky enough to win, you had the opportunity to go get interviewed by Mr. Sayon Johnson in the Winner's Circle. And, you know, hey, if you're going to have a Hollywood-type night, you got to have lots and lots of cameras and lots of interviews. So Patrick was there. The Can2Go product, Kenny, is won the Wireless Product Solution of the Year, and I think deservedly so. You've worked with them a bit. It's a newer product. It uses a lot of wireless technology. It's a control system, if you will, that uses N-Ocean as well as Zigbee, I believe, Kenny. So you can essentially put a system in and not really have to run wires to it other than to power your controllers and your valves and actuators. So it's a cool system. It works off of something called the CAN bus. And was it called the CAN bus, Kenny? I forget, but it's
CAN bus, yes.
The CAN bus. And that's real big, what, in the gaming industry and some
Actually, in the automation industry, it's used on cars, vehicles. It's used in airplanes. So it's a very robust, you know, very... very well established. In fact, CAN bus took over for the what do you call it? You have Modbus. Schneider or the predecessors owned Modbus and then gave it to the industry in 2002, and has developed CAN bus. So also just an incredible, successful, low cost, but powerful network. So the CAN bus is being used more and more. In fact, KMC uses the CAN bus on their new stuff. So and it's open source, so it's a great network.
Good stuff there, and Schneider Electric is one of the giants in the industry, right up there with the Honeywells and Johnsons and Siemens. So it's great to watch the technology sort of technology and technology sort of leapfrog each other, Kenny, and Schneider with the Can2Go is right in that hunt, if you will. So congratulations to Patrick and the team at Viconics and Schneider Electric. Hi, big dog. Next up was what you and I are thinking might be a very disruptive technology, very good technology. Talk about the interview you did with Daikin at the AHR show, if you would.
It was very exciting, Eric. And like you said, we one of our trends is to copy, or no, I'm sorry, to follow and basically communicate to the control trends community what disruptive technology looks like, feels like, and sounds like. And Daikin is the first HVAC industry equipment manufacturer to put IoT on their equipment on the rooftop. And we were very fortunate to catch up with Mr. Paul Rocker, who is the Vice President of Systems and Controls for Daikin Applied. And boy, these guys are sharp, but they're so excited about what they're doing. Instead of taking information on equipment and pushing it down into the building onto the networks and then have it work its thing, you know, the information be processed, aggregated, and, you know, resolved in control strategies, energy strategies, whatever, these guys are taking the information and pushing it up into the cloud. In other words, the dynamic variable here is that it's not being integrated inward, it's being pushed outward. So, and it could also take information from within the building and send it to the cloud. So what you're seeing here is the first time where equipment talks to the building instead of the building talking to the equipment. So the equipment's up on the roof. They have the ability to connect to the web in various ways. They can take the Ethernet, go back into the network. They can use the 3G or 4G, you know, the cellular connection, and then, of course, wireless. But the thing is that the machine-to-machine concept is really bearing fruit now. So you can actually have the Daikin equipment on the rooftop connected to the web, getting feeds on weather information and updates, and using that information to strategize the optimal equipment runs and tell the building management system, hey, we know the weather is going to get really hot or really cold, therefore we're going to preheat or pre-cool the building and maximize operational and savings, energy savings for the building owner. So it's a really, really interesting, game-changing concept.
Well, and let's talk about why it might be game-changing, because first of all, they're partnering with both Intel and Dell. And as you know, if you follow Control Talk and Control Trends, one of the big issues has been internet security, and Paul was quite adamant in discussing their solution for that. They're working with Intel. Intel already has their security built into the chip.
And down
their stack, their McAfee stack, I think it was. But is it Wind River they're working with? One of those companies.
Right, Wind River and McAfee. And then Intel. Yeah. So, yeah, they're really trying to get
security stack built into the equipment. So they're very aware of the impact of internet security and cyber hacking through the BAS system. So that's a big thing. My question, Kenny, and if you look at the video, you can see, where are the controls? Right.
Well, the controls are in the two controls that are matter are inside the equipment already. Intel has made an intelligent gateway that takes the 4,000 points up into the internet. And like you said, Intel has that stack. They have the McAfee security, so they're encoding and decoding, or encrypting and decrypting. And then they also have the Wind River, so it's very, very fast and formidable. So,
My point being, Kenny Smyers, because we looked at the demo.
Right.
I didn't see anything from Viconics or Schneider Electric. I didn't see anything from KMC or Linkspring or Honeywell or Johnson or Siemens. I think if I'm an integrator, this might concern me a little bit, just simply because you don't have the controls there. And as near as we could tell, Kenny, they made it so simple that, I think that's part of the appeal here, is that you can put these units up on the rooftop, run a Cat 5 to them, and you're up and you're running. You've got control, you got access to the data, and like you said, the theme of the unit pushing the data out and the smarts being right there at the edge. So how is that going to affect our industry, do you think?
I think it's going to make a major impact. Everything's kind of time sensitive. I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I think the whole concept is going to make everybody reconsider where they're at in this changing environment, this evolution, this progression towards, optimizing and reducing duplicities. So building owners who ultimately are then, they decide who's going to do what and who's going to put what where, can now opt out of, instead of running everything through their systems integration and relying on those folks to aggregate the information and control things, they can basically third-party that out into the cloud. But somebody's going to have to process that information somewhere. Somebody's going to control the, you know, making the decisions. But yeah, I think it's you know, I think if you're a Daikin dealer, you're smiling because you're sitting on top of, you know, probably the next major, you know, leapfrog forward on technology being applied to the HVAC industry in its most basic sense. You know, it's going to go down to, like you say, the edge devices are going to get smarter, and the smarts, where that smart is going to be pointed to, into a network inside the building and run through those strategies and through those control loops or whatever, or is it actually going to go and operate outside of that network? You know, like you said, security being the issue, so you don't need to get on the person's you know, IT. You don't have to disturb their IT environment because you're going to take it right up into the internet, and it's a secured environment already. So I think it's going to be a big game changer. I just don't know the time, how quickly you can implement something like this and how quickly the adoption rates. You know, you'll have certain people that will adopt it. You'll have early movers, and you'll go through the same cycle that everything else does, but it's going to have its share of the market.
Well, I got to tell you, Kenny, and Daikin, what a company those guys are. I tell you what, I would love to rep those guys. They are all over it. So another story regarding Daikin. As you know, I moved into a new house. We have an unfinished basement. I'm going to get it finished out down there and have playroom for the kids, but mainly to have the studio for a Control Talk Now. So needless to say, completely unfinished basement. So I'm thinking zoning. So we have the general contractor over. They bring the residential HVAC contractors going to do the installation, and we bring the aforementioned Mr. Tim Chambly over. And I'm bringing Tim over because I'm thinking, this is a perfect application for zoning, right? And, you know, obviously Honeywell's got a great zoning system. And we get to talking, and the solution, they're talking about zoning, but they say, if you really want to do this thing right, get the most energy efficient, what you do is you put 3 mini splits in here. And I get, those are just sort of self-contained units that that install very, very easily. They're very energy efficient, but from a residential standpoint, that is zoning at its best. In other words, Tim was explaining, you know, that zoning, if it's not set up right, can create problems. And obviously, with us recording the show, the last thing I want to have down there is a lot of noise. Well, these things are virtually silent. You can't hear them. They're very, very energy efficient, much more energy efficient than a zoning system. Now, they don't necessarily make sense in a retrofit situation, Tim. I mean, Kenny, but in a new construction, they totally do. And so I said, okay, who makes the best one of these? The best, Daikin. So Daikin's it. So I'm going to have 3 Daikin mini splits down in the basement doing the control and the humidification and all that. So, you know, I made an interesting statement there, which is they're not really good for retrofit. You're better off doing a zoning system for retrofit, but they are ideal for new construction. Sort of like the equipment we're talking about right now. And you mentioned the adoption rate. So, yeah, it might not be instantaneous. You might not have a lot of people. You know, the retrofit market might still be more conducive to our way of doing things. But, you know, 5-10 years of new construction, that retrofit market begins to dry up, because I don't think anybody's going to retrofit a Daikin mini split system with a traditional commercial zoning system. The cost to go back would be just way too much. And I'm not so sure that if this works the way it appears it's going to work, anybody's going to go backwards off of, a Daikin unit that has these controls and this access installed in it. So interesting times, Kenny, in our industry for sure. But hey, if you're a listener out there, you know about this stuff, love to hear what you have to think in comments. Kenny and I are trying to really track this trend. Great new technologies coming in, but it seems like the piece of the control pie seems to be a piece that everybody's, you know, trying to take, Kenny, and people are taking bits and pieces every day.
Well, Derek, you're right. But one thing to go back with Daikin, they can go back 8 years into their equipment line, yeah, and retrofit and upgrade, you know, and bring that intelligence to existing Daikin units. So there's a tremendous market there, like you said, for new installations. But they can also go back to the Daikin family of equipment. And it's not just going to be, right now it's the Rebel Rooftop Rocks, but they also have a whole line of chillers and many, you know, they can go back 8 years and then upgrade those and put this intelligence into that equipment. So that looks like a pretty exciting market for Daikin.
Well, it does, Kenny, and I got to tell you, if you are a controls distributor, building automation controls distributor like you and me and a lot of our buddies, you might begin to look down the street at your refrigeration wholesaler because he might be your competitor. If you are a full-blown systems integrator, you might start looking at the residential and light commercial contractor because those guys are probably going to be coming into the market with these new products. So keep us posted. I mean, Kenny and I might be overreacting a little bit. If we are, please let us know in comments. We would love for somebody to explain to us why we're overreacting. This is not a real issue.
Well, it's just such a large market, and the markets are stratified, and people don't have people have different economic worlds and realities, and some people are building new stuff. Some people have to make patchwork the existing equipment to make it go, and the last thing they can afford to do is take advantage of this, even though this might be the latest and greatest. Things get phased into place, and I think we have some more posts coming up here that will come and collide exactly with this new Daikin equipment, because they've got another idea that's just as formidable, and it doesn't involve major equipment retrofits. It takes existing equipment and existing your infrastructure, and it makes it more energy efficient and operationally efficient, and that takes us transitions us right into the next post, which is introducing the KMC new line of BAS controllers, Meet the Conquest. Why don't you tell us your thoughts on KMC's version of how they can make your building, your envelope, so much more efficient and so much more easier to control?
Well, Kenny, we've talked about it the last couple weeks on the show. KMC came in about 2.5-3 weeks ago. They brought their entire team in, executive team from the CEO on down, and they presented their different products and the new product portfolio they're coming up with. And, Kenny, I tell you what, they're rocking and rolling. The simple VAV, we call it the everyman's VAV control because you don't need a computer to set it up. And our Tim Chambly is all over that. He teaches a pneumatic VAV class, and now he's starting to show people that have no concept of DDC how easy it is to retrofit a pneumatic with the simple VAV. And that in and of itself, Kenny, is a really cool feature. But now Delta has revamped. KMC has revamped their product line. They're coming up with a Conquest line of controllers, which are fully programmable. So they have a VAV controller that's in there. They have a plant controller. They have an air handling unit controller. And some of the technologies, Kenny, we mentioned this last week with the VAV control, and Eric Kruder talks about this in the video that we posted, is they're using near field communication. So if you got a smartphone, you can configure your 1 through 100 or 1 through 250 VAV controls, if you will, and you can just go to the boxes before you even take them out of the box. You can just touch them with the top of your smartphone and it will configure your controller without power, not even out of the box. So that in and of itself is a cool feature. So KMC seems to really be dialing in, Kenny, to very competitive price points, very, very easy installation, and flexible controllers. So that system includes a little front end they have that's apparently scalable, Kenny. And Eric Kruder was telling me that some of their dealers right now, that it's so price competitive. We talked last week about the 7 million plus buildings that are too small for energy management. And this is an area that KMC is focused on. We call it the race to the small space. And they're offering a solution, Kenny, that their dealers are able to go in and say, hey, give us a 3 or 5 year contract. We'll give you the system for free. So you'll be able to enjoy the benefits of having a building automation control system. All that brings in terms of analytics, in terms of control, in terms of remote monitoring, we'll give you that for, a 3 to 5 year service contract. So they have really got an interesting mix. All this is coming out. We'll keep reporting on it. But KMC just seems to be in the mix in a big time way, Kenny. They might be the winner of the race to the small space. I don't know.
Well, they're going to get their share. Eric, you brought up like three really good points. One is everybody wants to have a more efficient building envelope and equipment, control their equipment, and have better operational controls. But the financing's hard. So if you can help solve that puzzle by bringing very down to earth, easy to understand financing. almost like the energy service providers provide, you know, at the federal level and the state level, you know, and they're sanctioned. And you're allowed to, if you can prove that you can, you know, put this in and avoid capital avoidance projects where you can share savings and you can prove the savings and you do that, then who's not going to go for that? So it's a great concept of how you can come up with financial solutions. Two, simply VAV was like you said, every man's VAV. It didn't require front-end computers or whatever. But what this new one does is these advanced application controllers give you the additional benefits of not just RS-232, but they have the Ethernet, and they give you a lot more options to take you on that scalable thing you were talking about, the race in a small space, which could be 2,500 square feet to all the way up to 100,000 square feet. Do it modularly, and it makes sense because they add all kinds of neat features that include their Conquest, the Connect Lite, which is that software you were talking about. The information that they can get now within the network and the system is incredible. But they have thermostats that are smart. You know, they introduce not just the controllers, but they also got sensors where they've got they have an incredible sensor. Tell us about that sensor. It has humidity, temperature, CO2, and it's all one unit. So they have So they have occupancy, temperature, humidity, and CO2, and the user interface is totally customizable. So you can do single or multiple set points. You can control so many VAVs from one sensor using their input, their module that you add to that, so they can control six VAVs with one temperature sensor. Sensor. Controller. So it's just, that's really smart thinking. That's just, it yeah, just keeps getting better.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard not to pull from these guys, Kenny. They're third generation. Eric Kruder is the grandson of Ken Kruder, the founder of KMC Controls. It's hard not to pull for these guys. You know, they're out of Indiana. An American company, an American success story that with all the competition going on globally, these guys find a way to be extremely innovative and come up with very price competitive products and really unique solutions. So KMC, they won the Simply VAV, won the VAV Controller of the Year at the 2014 Control Trends Awards. These guys are on the move, Kenny, and we'll keep tracking them. We handle them. I think you guys are going to be handling them. I know a lot of the other guys that sort of are in our peer group are handling them, from Scott Cochran to John Donahue and some of the others. So I think you're just going to see KMC really take more market share. And
Eric, that brings up another good point, is it's not just the existing market share, they're growing the markets. In other words, there were markets that weren't saturated. Nobody had contact with those markets because they didn't have all the interesting features that this new KMC product line has, and that is the financing element. There's people out there that need our assistance. They need an intelligent approach towards solving energy crisis. In some of these facilities, you have all different levels of host stratification markets. With some of these people, they're growing the market because they can now access areas that they couldn't access before because it just wasn't a fit. So having that kind of a flexibility to go into anywhere and say, we can just put thermostats on here, we can put, Simply VAV, and then we can take this and we can make it into a very, important control system that's remote monitored and controlled, and then we can start optimizing our strategies, and putting smart meters in and connecting everything together. So it all begins somewhere, and I think what they do by coming up with this line here is they create a whole new bunch of starting points for different potential customers, thus increasing the market, and not just trying to fight over that little slice of a pie that already exists.
Well,
the competition.
It looks like, we've been tracking the race to the small space, Kenny. We've talked about companies like EZIO with the Beast being a very economical solution that can put things up. You have InTouch, several of the thermostat brands, InTouch, Ecobee, Honeywell RedLink, just to name a few. All those people are taking thermostats that you're able to access remotely and do things. InTouch adds some additional relays on there. But none of them, with the exception of maybe EZIO, which is a true DDC controller, sort of have all the functionality that you'll be able to get out of this KMC a product for, and I haven't seen the pricing, Kenny, but from what they're telling me, it sounds like for about the same price. So it's going to be interesting. We'll keep you guys posted on that. I got more videos, Kenny, that we'll be posting over the next couple of weeks from KMC's pilgrimage to Atlanta. So We'll keep the community informed about that. But hey, if you've worked with KMC, pros or cons about it, please let us know in comments. But again, I think it could be very disruptive to the world as we know it. But we'll have to wait and see. And speaking of that, Kenny, let's get down to another celebratory type. You like that word celebratory? It's kind of like collaboratory, right?
You had a bunch of Tories there. Well, I'll tell you what, Delta Controls, you talk about somebody's just been doing something for a long time, right? And we kind of, you know, happen upon it and really get to open up the envelope and see what's all going on. And it all began with Una De Boer's, coming to us and saying, hey, what's going on? How come you never come over to us and talk to us? And I think it was our inclination, and we didn't have a direct relationship with Delta Patrols because they have a different channel. So we didn't know much about them simply because they were a competitor to our brands. But the more we got to see it, and they do it right. And Ona DeBoer just put a nice article on LinkedIn in her group explaining what Do It Right means with a long-term employee that they literally espouse those values, and they live it, and they work it, and they believe in it. But they that's their mantra is do it right. You know, don't do it at all. Because I think this was, you talk about celebration, I think the Control Trends Awards really and truly opens up the eyes, not only our eyes, but the Control Trends community eyes. And we got to see Mr. Nichols receive the award on behalf of Delta. And man, I'll tell you what, it's a great company. They got great products. And it was a truly momentous event, didn't you think?
Well, the thing that sucks about Delta Controls, Kenny, is it, they don't go through distribution because they are a formidable company. And I got to tell you, dude, I am a big, big, big Una De Boer fan. I think she rocks, Kenny. I mean, we've told this story before on Control Trends, but Kenny and I are at, was it Niagara Summit or was it RealCom IBCon?
RealCom IBCon.
Yeah, RealCom IBCon. We got our cameras. We're going from booth to booth interviewing people, and this woman comes up and goes, what the hell are you guys doing? And I said, well, he's the man, the myth, the legend, and I'm just carrying his camera for him. And she said, well, what do you do, man, myth, the legend? And Kenny said, well, you know, we're interviewing different people. And she goes, well, come over and interview us. We got some stuff that rocks there. So we came. That's how we met Delta and Copper Tree Analytics. But Kenny, she's a bright, bright, bright woman. And I have a lot of respect for the way she rolls and what she does. Like I said, I'm a big Una De Boer fan. I think if you're looking for, how to do marketing right, I think Una is somebody that you ought to do a case study on because she is really, really active. She's on top of it. She's fair. She's tough. But, I like working with her. I don't know about you.
Oh, certainly. And, I think, too, the other thing she brought it was the social media. She knew a lot about Control Trends because of the way that she was bumping into it. Everywhere she turned around, she was seeing Control Trends and she was hearing what we had to say. And she wanted to know why our light didn't shine wide enough and bright enough in different parts of the industry. And number one, they're a Canadian company. And that's where I think that was like the third Canadian company in a row that we met that was just awe-inspiring. You know, you had Neptronic, you had Distech, you had Delta. And you're thinking, wow. And then all the security and fire alarm systems that come out of Canada, they really do produce a lot of really great products and have a lot of great people. And they do a lot of things right up there. And it's coming to the North American market. And we are enriched by the product lines that these folks provide. So she made that very clear to us. And she does embrace social media. So, I mean, she was hitting us in about three or four of our Control Trend sweet spots. You know, one about, you know, how important social media was and how you use these channels now to excite your networks and get people involved. And I think that led to the success of ultimately being, winning the Building Automation Control System of the Year.
Well, they do. And my friends and customers ask me, they say, you guys don't handle Delta. We compete with Delta. How come you guys are giving on Control Trends, giving Delta, any visibility at all? Same with Distech, same with everybody else. Well, the awards wouldn't be fair if Kenny and I pick the winners, which we don't. So the votes are the votes. So again, you look at somebody like Delta, if they win that award, Kenny, it's because they won it fair and square. And, I have to admire them. And one of the beautiful things about Control Trends, Kenny, is we get to know a lot of people like Una, the folks at Delta, Distech, that we otherwise would have no contact with at all. So to me, Kenny, this is one of the really beautiful things about Control Trends and the Control Trends Awards is that they're just great people in our industry, and it's a competitive industry. I think the competition makes everybody better. The ultimate winners are the contractors and the end users at the end of the day. So what can I say? Congratulations, Delta Controls, and congratulations to all our winners there. And you know, if you want to do better next year, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, Kenny, that Una did really, really well, she came up to us, she found out about the award, she decided that they would become a sponsor, which totally wasn't necessary. But then she said, how can I maximize our exposure? And, you know, she made sure that she energized her network. They made sure to get people to come on Control Trends so that they could energize the Control Trends network, which is a key piece, because if it's just your network, you're probably not going to win. And they stayed on top of it. So Una took it seriously and got it done. And that doesn't take anything away from the product, because I think it's just a fantastic product. Wasn't a great product. It wouldn't matter what Una was doing. People wouldn't have voted for it. So, again, I think it's a great case study for our other participants who sort of want to know, how can I be successful in Control Trends and the Control Trends Awards? Call Una up and ask her. Does she know?
Right on. Well, Eric, we got two more posts left. The second one is your second post on Tim Chambly.
Yep. And Tim just follows right up where he left with part one. So be sure to check that out. And remember, Tim Chambly is the guy that goes from being Gomer Pyle to Gordon Gekko as soon as he walks in front of the room.
Who's Gordon Gekko again?
He's the guy from Wall Street, man. Don't you remember?
I'm teasing you. Michael Douglas. Who could forget Gordon Gekko?
Lunches for wimps. And hey, in this business is dog eating. This business is cutthroat. If you need a friend, get a dog.
That's a classic line, huh?
There were a ton of them. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I tell you, Michael Douglas just was awesome in that role. So he reminds me a little bit of Mark Petock, our friend Mark Petock from LinkedIn, because Mark sort of has that cool factor about him. And I think, you know, he looked at us and said, lunch is for whips.
All right, that brings just to clear the palate there, lunch palate. We have a new participant in the Control Trends community that it's been around a while, but again, it's an interesting perspective how the community increases every week, every month, every year. And then we have a company called Sierra Monitor Corporation out of California, Milpitas, California. And they are the manufacturers and providers of many, many products and services. And I'll give you the first introduction to them, because now they're a part of the Control Trends community. We're very excited about now the products they have are of interest to us as distributors. They're of interest to our contractors. They primarily were in an industrial automation market, and again, it was a very logical lateral movement into the building management and building automation space markets. So I can tell you what they're all about from the field server BACnet router. That's probably their lead product of interest to our community. But what's your thoughts on Sierra Monitoring?
Well, again, a really cool, innovative company, Kenny. And we talk about social media. I don't know about you, but LinkedIn really seems to be rising to the forefront, I think, in our industry. And Sierra reached out to us, the CEO reached out to us through LinkedIn. And I guess he'd been following Control Trends, wanted to know what it was about. So we got to talking to them a bit, and I think we got some really exciting coming up with Sierra Monitor. We won't let the cat out of the bag just yet. But, you know, I can just say from a marketing perspective, I can tell you I'm very impressed with how these guys think. They remind me a lot of Una DeBoer, who we just spoke about, in terms of, you know, really realizing that you got to have your own marketing collateral, your own way to touch your network directly. But to be really successful, you need sort of a third party avenue, sort of somewhere like Control Trends, that can also help, you know, get your message out and also reach people that maybe are not in your network already. But really impressed with the way they think, Kenny. And again, we got some great stuff coming from Sierra Monitor. But talk a bit more about their products, because once we went to the website and started looking at their products, again, this might be one of the best kept secrets out there, right?
Well, you know, to begin to put the answer to that or respond to it is that they were locally very big. They're in the they're in California in the Silicon Valley area, and they catered to that market at first. So they did a lot of things. They do industrial gas detection. They do protocols and gateways, fire gas protection. Sentry IT solutions provide and protect facilities and personnel. They have field server connects assets and facilities for monitoring power. But that's where I think they stunned me was their protocol gateways. They actually have protocols. They have 145 protocols that they can integrate and communicate with, which is extraordinary if you think about it. So if you go on their website, which is www.sierramonitor.com, you see just an amazing array of protocol gateways, routers, products, and solutions. These guys are really loaded for bear. They have a ton of great products, and I think they have field service for OEMs. But what we would see them happen is they have a router. Their standard router has two RS-45 ports, RS-232 ports. So I mean, they're ready to go for a complete backnet internet working solution for any backnet IP, any backnet Ethernet, or backnet MST application. They're very, very excited about having a standalone backnet router that has been certified by the BTL to ensure the highest standard for backnet integrations. The features and benefits of just the router alone are something that I think a lot of our integration communities are going to get involved with, because they're going to want to know if they can buy one device and put that much leverage, that much connectivity in one router. It's going to be a very serious router. We're going to see people going from some of the standard routers they're using to the Sierra Monitor router.
Yeah, we did a price comparison, Kenny, between some of the more traditional solutions that we handle, and most people, systems integrators are familiar with, and the Sierra. And I tell you what, if you need more than one line, the Sierra is definitely the price competitive option. Our Mike Bonner is going to do an unboxing video, I think, of that product, and he'll be breaking it down and doing a product review. So stay tuned for that. But hey, we're really happy to have Sierra on board, and we'll be hearing a lot from those guys in the very near future, Kenny Smyers.
Right. So what we have the last post for this week's Control Talk Now is a Sierra monitor. It's just kind of the boilerplate feature benefit with a video, about a 3.5-minute video. That'll be the first introduction to Sierra Monitor.
Cool. All right, Kenny Smyers. So now you're up in Connecticut, big dog, in a hotel room. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at your picture here. We might just have one handsome shot of you all week. I can't tell until I actually look at the tape.
No. I tell you, I'm beat up. You're right. I drove we drove a bunch, about half a day yesterday, and we got a lot of accomplishment. Now we're in the cradle of fun. We're going to go see a play this afternoon.
Nice.
But the weather, I tell you, man, this has got to be the toughest winter that I can remember for quite some time.
This global warming, Kenny. That's the deal, man. I tell you what, that Al Gore was right, man. I mean, everything's melting, right? I mean, you got to figure those ice caps just got refrozen this year, I'm guessing, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do is when we have our when we escape and go outside outside the box, and we talk about stuff. We'll talk about that wobbling that occurs when we're at the furthest point in our orbit, where Jupiter and Saturn are pulling on our little Earth here and trying to knock us out of our gravitational orbit with the Sun, because that's what probably has more impact with our weather than anything we're doing. But I think it's good. I'm a great person.
Wouldn't it be a bitch if those two planets got their act together, pulled us out of our orbit, and we just all of a sudden spun out into outer space someplace? I mean, and here I am worried about whether I'm getting fat or not. I mean, come on, we got to stay serious with this stuff. Hey, speaking of serious, Kenny, we would be getting ready to go to London here. For those of our listeners who might not know, my wife Anna is due any day now with our son. So otherwise, we would be heading to London for the European conference with Tritium. I think they got a lot of exciting stuff coming up there, Kenny. So we'll get a report from London and all that, our friend Jenny Graves, once we find out what's going on with that. But I think that's going to be a great conference. If you're one of our listeners over in Europe, you might want to check that out, because that will be a great, great conference. And then later in the month, down in Orlando, Florida, Johnson Controls has their business conference we've talked about, and our Rob Allen will be down there, as well as Mike Bonner. Kenny and I are going to set that one out again for the reason I mentioned before. But Mike and Rob are going to have cameras, so say hi to those guys. Rob Allen is one of the original young guns, Kenny. He thinks we're long-winded. Takes us about 45 minutes to an hour to say what we need to say. Rob says it in 7 minutes or less, or so he says.
So he always goes over, Erica. He said 7. He was 11. He said 7. He was 8 minutes. We're gonna give him some feedback on and some blowback on his comments saying we're long winded. But yeah. I think we are. But we're trying to do a little bit more. Just for clarification, that Niagara Forum is going to be April 19th through the 21st of April, and we know that it's attracting a lot of attention. In fact, I talked to Luis Melgares from Neptronic, and they're excited because they're going to go over and they're displaying at that. The Niagara Forum. So open for innovation. And they're going to be really diving deep into Niagara Fort, which everybody's very excited about. You know, we have a lot of integrators here that they want to be, they want to get that second round of beta testing so they can find kick the tires and see how those new features and benefits are going to, you know, impact their applications and their customers' projects.
You know, Kenny, I was able to spend some time with one of the integrators that's doing a lot of that beta testing for Niagara last week. And this guy, self-admittedly, is somebody that's always a bit skeptical. So he's a great beta tester, and he's pretty impressed with what they're coming out with. So he didn't go into a lot of details, Kenny, but he says he really thinks they're on to something there. So I think Niagara's on the right track with that.
Yeah, and they just introduced some training. Trinity University now has it on their schedule, and they've sent out a couple of emails to test the waters and see how many people. This new white space thing is really DCIM, the whole way that you approach the markets. They've teamed up with some really, really talented people in the data management space, the infrastructure, and they've got the Geist folks, really, really big Niagara fans. They were out at Niagara 4. Or Niagara Summit 2014 in Las Vegas. I think it was the first introduction to a lot of people, but they've got some really big plans on how to control that and how to really manage that space effectively. There's some new technologies and there's some new understandings on how to optimize that whole that whole application. And it includes, I was just checking some things out, but that thermal imaging and stratification, they're putting cold air into the racks space, and they've got to exhaust the hot air out. And to do that optimally, you could save a lot of money.
Well, Kenny, let me ask you, who is Geist?
I've bumped into them and I've checked their website out. They are they are wizards in the data center infrastructure management, DCIM. They've wrote the book on it. I mean, there's an industry that we're now, just like with control trends, how we learn about something and it becomes a trend. We right. snag it and we learn about it and then we benefit. And then we decide, it's like you play cards and you can only handle so many cards in your hand at a given time. You have to discard one and take on a new one right. to improve your hand. Well, this now it could be a market where you have the Niagara network out there and you can just do so much more of it. It's like... Mr. DeCosmo said, Nina says, once you put this you put these formidable tools in talented hands, innovation occurs in directions that you could have never perceived or predicted. And that's where it's going, because now that you have this great product and you have these talented integrators, they just need to push the talent cannon into a new market and be successful. And one of those markets that they're planning to do that in is the white space, the data centers. And now it's starting to make sense to me.
I think that's a frontier right there. You and I did a post, I think it was at the first of the year, about trends for 2015. And I forget the guy who did it, but he was talking about how, and I might not have the numbers 100% accurate, but I think they're close, that if you raise the temperature in a data center by 1 degree, that could equate to 25 to 30% energy savings just by raising it 1 degree. And apparently ASHRAE or some of those standards people have said, yeah, you can do that. But he was saying that a lot of people are not doing it just because the risk of damaging the equipment is so high, even though the equipment manufacturers are all saying, yeah, we can tolerate a little bit higher temperature. It sounds to me like maybe, this is a big maybe, we're doing conjecture now, we won't know until after until after Niagara makes any announcements that they do, so this is just speculation on mine and Kenny's part, but can you imagine them doing some sort of a reset or something and controlling those racks in a way and making that data available in such a way that owners are comfortable going, yeah, we can, we feel comfortable now letting our temperature rise a degree or a degree and a half because we feel comfortable enough that the equipment's not going to be damaged. It'd be huge, huge energy savings. That's just very low-hanging fruit. So the way data centers are going to be controlled could be changing. I tell you who I'd really love to get on the show to talk about this, and you better be listening, Rick Warner, the innovator. But as we know, Rick Warner, our friend the innovator, is a big white space guy. Maybe we can get Rick on to discuss some of these trends. So.
I watched a very interesting thing on YouTube on data DCIM because, quite frankly, I was definitely weak on it, and I've heard it, but I never took it, you know, how is it going to affect what we do for a living and the customers that we work with, the customer sets. But you look at an analogy is that a data center is like a manufacturing center, and you have all the factors, all the variables that go into manufacturing, which are cooling, hardware costs, software costs. These are all the flexible variables that go into the manufacturing. The obvious thing that you manufacture is the control. You generate data, and that's the product that comes out, you know. And it was very interesting because it told you what the costs were approximately. You know, 80% of the cost of a data center is the software programs and the oversight done by, you know, third parties. So they can control a lot of those costs on the input part of the manufacturing process or the data processing part. And that's where we're seeing this Niagara effort being directed to. Because if you can lower those costs, you reduce the cost of manufacturing of that data, you produce better data at less costs. Guess what? The CTO and the CIO are saying, right on, you know. And then the CFO is saying, we're now more profitable, we're more efficient, and we can do more. We can increase our manufacturing capability. So I mean, to hear this analogy was very important because it's all about controlling your costs and to be able to put that visibility. I saw some really neat stuff too. I saw some great dashboards. You talk about visibility. This is where the visual dashboard is so critical because with one glance, you can see through the color presentations what's going on, the flows, the thermal imaging that they put up there, how much it's costing you per square foot. I mean, you can put a lot of information very comfortably into a screen now that really tells the story, and that's what we're seeing happen.
It's cool stuff, Kenny Smyers. Well, listen, I want you to survive to do another show. I know you're with your family up there.
Good.
So I think this is probably a good place to call it. Anything else you want to add before we sign off, Kenny?
No, Eric, I don't know what the background looks like or anything. It's like you, last week you did a great job of ad-libbing and innovating based on where you were and the circumstances, and I think I got my round this week. So next week I'm looking forward to a better environment.
Yeah, well, it'll be okay. We'll take a look at the tape here and see how it goes. We'll also have the podcast. So that's it, another week on Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings podcast and or video cast. So you can watch us or listen to us or do both. I'm Eric Stromquist. He's the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only Connecticut kid, Kenny Smyers. So thanks for joining us, and remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers.